Woo, GMAT.
Yay.
Hello, and welcome to episode 16 of the GMAT podcast.
I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white! Fuck!
Today's episode is brought to you by Tiny Build, the independent developer and publisher. And we'll talk more about them later. I didn't even say GMAT anywhere in that intro.
Oh, didn't you?
No, it's
did
just...
you say the GMAT or was just of the podcast?
Well, I said welcome to the episode, whatever, of the GMAT podcast, but I wasn't like, I thought the bitch was GMAT or anything.
Oh yeah, right. Do you want to do it again?
Okay, but I gotta do it on the fly though.
I thought the bitch was
GMAT. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Flawless.
What a psychopath.
Yeah, she's I knew that she had issues, but I didn't realize how profoundly deep they ran.
She's
but you know what?
Go on.
I kind of get where she's coming from. I don't know whether
all right, wait, hold on. Let's relax for a sec.
Okay.
I get where she's coming from, but she's also being a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like, well, I was just saying that because it seemed no one had said like, yeah, I get what she's saying. Everyone's just like, wow, she's a racist and she's nuts and she's gone off the rails. No one was saying, yeah, I get what she meant, but boy, howdy, did she go about it in a terrible manner.
Well, because even if you say I get what she meant, you're still ignoring the whole Muslim Brotherhood part of the tweet. Because
what was the Muslim Brotherhood problem?
It was Muslim Brotherhood plus Planet of the Apes equals. Valerie Jarrett, whatever her name is, Valerie Jane.
So what was the Muslim Brotherhood in reference to?
Well, I don't know. I think she is, she like supports immigration and all that sort of stuff. And Roseanne's a big Trump supporter who doesn't support immigration and whatever.
Is she a Trump supporter?
Oh, yeah. Is she a Trump supporter?
I honestly don't know enough about it. I didn't think anyone in Hollywood was a Trump supporter, though.
Have you not seen her whole bit from that? Have you seen that video where she goes, I thought the bitch was white?
Obviously I'm just skimming for the highlights.
No, because that's it. She's such a fucking weirdo. She released a video where she, like obviously filmed on the same day, where she's standing there and she's like, hello, my name is Roseanne Barr. And I can't do her voice anyways. And she's like, and she like explains her tweet very calmly and says, and I thought she was white. And I apologize, and I was attacked by the media because I'm a Trump supporter, and you can't be a Trump supporter in Hollywood, which is exactly what she said, which is weird that you said that as well. And then, on her own channel, afterwards, she released that blooper.
She released it?
She
or did
released
someone stitch her up who's from her camp?
No, she released it on her own channel, this thing, and kept it up there. And I think she shared it on her Twitter.
I don't feel like Roseanne's running her own YouTube channel.
Well, she's certainly got creative control, I imagine. It's a YouTube channel, it's not.
So someone's gone to her and said, hey, Roseanne, you want to put this screaming clip up? She's like, yeah, gets my point out there.
And do you not believe that, though?
Well, I could see it going either way. I could see it being a stitch up from someone because that is not impossible and it's happened to people before. Like, everyone's stitching up Trump now. People are coming out of the woodwork. So... if it's ever going to happen, it's going to be because it's related to Trump stuff. And she's kind of right. It's not that you can't be a Trump supporter in Hollywood. To me, it just seems like you kind of get ostracized a little bit.
Well, she said that you can't be a Trump supporter in Hollywood in the professional video, the one she obviously wanted to be released. But she wouldn't release that one where she went mental and see it and then not take it down. I don't think it's a stitch up. I think she's just a fucking nutcase.
Yeah. What did she think she was going to get from that?
I don't know. I thought maybe she thought that people might see it as, oh wow, we should go easy on her because look how much we've like broken her mental state.
She's
or something,
so
something like that.
Frustrated.
Yeah, because I get the frustration. She when she said Planet of the Apes, she wasn't saying that this black woman was an ape. She wasn't saying that. She just thinks she looked like a monkey. And it turns out she was also, which I think is bullshit. Like, if she looked at her enough to think she looks like a monkey, surely she looked at her enough to see that, oh, this chick's a little brown. And she's real frustrated that people are being like, you called her a monkey and everything. She's like, no, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that she's a Muslim and she's combined with Planet of the Apes. And I don't, her whole fucking argument has so many holes in it. I just think she's a dumb idiot who opened her mouth and tweeted too quick, just like everyone else on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a hard place to be in when having that sort of a brain and that sort of a mouth is the thing that brings you infamy to begin with and all of your success. And then you get a few bad ideas, but you have no filter to control them and saying those ideas. And also all of your success comes from that. So you're almost sort of Pavlovianly conditioned to keep just saying whatever pops into your head, but then the stuff in your head becomes rubbish and it's also your downfall.
She probably thinks I imagine she has a bit of a superiority complex and she thinks what she says actually means something and what she says, she's very important and what she says is important, but
combined. Yeah, she's the one with her eyes opened. She's the woke one.
Although I guess you could say the same thing about the left as the right, but it always seems like the right, like people like Alex Jones and those sort of people are like, they feel like they're above everyone else and they've got this mental state that no one else sees, and like no one sees what's going on and I see everything and everyone else is crazy and you're too soft.
I don't know if that's I think everyone thinks that they've got their finger on the pulse, because if they thought they were wrong they would change their ideas. So everyone thinks he's the most ridiculous one.
Well,
so many conspiracies and putting chemicals on the water, turn the fruit of frogs gay.
But it seems like the left is more of a community. And I don't know if that's just because I surround myself with those people, but it seems like we're the majority and we're wrong. You reckon?
Because everyone on the right is in the same camp and you don't have to believe the exact same thing. Like you can be a little bit of a right winger. And just, I don't know what a moderate right winger believes anymore. Just like fiscal conservative stuff, I guess. You can believe that. And then the racists will embrace you and be like, all right, you believe in that sort of like the guns. Okay, that's a good one. If you're an American and you believe in the Second Amendment, the really racist right wing people will embrace you and be like, well, you know, he's not racist, but he believes in the gun stuff. So he's on our side. He hates the lefties as much as we do. But if you're on the left, if you're only partially to the left, the people who are far to the left will not embrace you at all. They think you're a right winger.
Yeah,
it's only the people who are it's the further left you go, everyone anywhere to the right of the spectrum of them is the enemy. Whereas if you're at all right, as far right as you can go, everyone on the red side is on a team.
I know this is a fun podcast and a funny podcast, but that was a really good point, Ben.
Thanks, mate. I try to think about things.
I agree with that 100%. And I wouldn't have known how to word it. I agree with it, but I've never thought about it. But yeah, you're right.
Well, because I found that I thought I was pretty left wing, and then I met people at uni and stuff who were like, "You're not left wing. You're actually, you know, kind of closed minded." And you know, I never got called a racist or anything, but I don't know. I disagreed with people who were saying punch Nazis and stuff, and everyone started saying that therefore I was not right wing, but you know, I wasn't an ally and all that sort of shit. I'm like, what? I'm not trying to extol my virtues with violence. Suddenly I'm not an ally and I'm on the other side. And I am white and straight. So it's automatically I'm on the back foot with trying to be in that camp. So I'm very, very privileged apparently.
Yes. Yeah, but let's not go down that path.
No.
Who's the big fat dude? I shouldn't say that because
Who is the big fat dude?
He's a YouTuber. Fuck my mum. What's his name? I gotta look him up.
All right.
Do you listen to the H3 podcast?
Not religiously. I come across it every now and then, but.
Boogie. Is his name or Boogie? I don't know. Okay. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. Anyways,
I think it's Boogie.
Is it really? Or are you messing with me?
Oh, speaking of messing with you, we'll come back to this. But you know my explanation of pigeonholing.
Yeah,
I completely made that up on the spot, and I'll just let you sit with that for a week. Look, I was so proud of it.
I know you think you're a head messer. You're really messing with my head, but I've given it zero thought. I didn't even think about it. After we'd spoken about it
in the blog post.
So anyways, Boogie, he was talking about Now, I'm not gonna explain this well because I can't remember the context, but it was on the H3 podcast, and there's a clip of it on YouTube that I'll probably link in the bottom of this podcast.
Where he says,
I've been doing it lately. When I say I do, he says that they went to a convention, and there's this other YouTuber who's very, very, very left wing, so left wing mm-hmm. that someone who's considered a little right wing came to see her. What's it called when you stand in front of a panel. Yeah. And she pointed him out in the front row and said, fuck you to, and like everyone, even though he's just a little right wing. Actually, I don't know if he's a little right winged, whoever he was. I just wouldn't point someone out in my audience.
He just sounds right wing because these people are so left wing. So but that's the trap.
But he could be that guy. I can't remember. That guy could have been like Alex Jones, yeah. But I still wouldn't point Alex Jones out in a crowd and get a group of people angry at one person. That was a bad idea.
That made me come off like a right winger to people was because I said I was for freedom of speech, and I was saying people shouldn't be deplatformed all the time. Yeah. I was like, no, you just gotta let bad ideas circulate, because then they just become rejected on their badness. Like people will go, well, that's a terrible idea, so no, I don't want to get involved with that. You can't silence these people, because then it just gives fuel to their cause and they go underground. Like if you ban words like the N-word and stuff, people still think they're racist thoughts, but now they can't say them out into the open. So you can't track them down and go, hang on. That's actually a terrible idea. Why do you think that's cool shit to say? Like, what's the value in your ideas here? If you don't let them say their dumb ideas, then it just becomes this festering thing, and it compounds because they feel like they're being pressurized more and that they can't live in society. So you just fuel these little revolutions and shit. And then you end up with all these right-wing Nazi people coming out of the woodwork. Anyway, so Bugie was saying what?
How often do you think about this? A lot, don't you? You're just sitting up at night going,
oh, man, if you go into my toilet, it's scrawled on the walls and shit.
She just thought the bitch was white. I don't know what
that's all. I don't understand the problem. I think Roseanne's got some pretty goddamn good ideas. People, give her a minute to speak, please.
So anyways, Bugie was on a panel with her, a different panel to that one where she went off, and... At the end, when they were doing closing remarks, he said something like, I can't remember what he said. Either way, it made her mad. And she came back. She came after the panel, came up to him and was like, you're a piece of shit. How dare you say that without giving me a chance to respond in like closing thoughts? And he's like, that's what closing thoughts are for. Anyways, so then they started to have a conversation when she calmed down, and she said, are you, where's your audience? Like, I bet your audience are all right winged, you know, idiots. And he said, well, actually, according to my, because he did a panel. Fuck, I can't talk today. He did a what's it called? when you ask a bunch of people for the information privately,
and you
send a poll. He did a poll. For God's sake, Matt, pull it together. He did a poll for his audience, and it turned out they were really split. There was people who were on the right, and there were people who were on the left. Or people who said they were right, people who said they were left. And she said, doesn't that make you sick? Doesn't that make you feel disgusting, disgusted? And he was like, no, I think that's a great thing, because I sit in the middle, and if someone from the right hears me, and they sort of agree with me a little bit on my middle, you know, more left views, then they'll come a bit closer to the middle. And if someone who's far gone on the left, who is being an absolute psychopath, who's being an out-of-control, political-corrected idiot, might come a little bit towards the center. And then if everyone can get to the center, it's just a better place to be than all this far right, far left. And I thought that was a really interesting point. But I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember why I was getting into it. Oh, because we're talking about Roseanne being a psychopath. Mm. So if more people get to the middle, I think it'd be it wouldn't be so the left hates everyone who's so far the left, and the right are looking for their little communities, and it's so split.
This obsession the left has with like demonizing anyone who is not exactly on their viewpoint or further left. It's so like the left was like, that was the place to be in the 60s and stuff, because they're all the civil rights stuff and they were actually for free speech, and it's done a complete 180, and now they're fighting against free speech. It's just wild to me. Like, neither side seems good anymore.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think the left are the good guys, but they're like, the far left are like the anti-heroes. They're just so, they're like Thanos. It's like, well, you've got a great idea. I see what you're getting at. The execution, not so much.
Mm.
Yeah, I really feel scared. I feel like by far left people.
The right is the Joker, and the left is Mr. Freeze. The right is just
go
a
on.
Chaotic,
I finish this. Finish this thought.
The right is a chaotic, hateful mess on the far right, I mean. And it's just dangerous ideas and destructive stuff going on. And the left is Mr. Freeze, and they're doing destructive, evil things, but it's in pursuit of something that they believe is right, which is trying to heal their sickly, frozen, dead wife. So they have love in their hearts, but they're just very misguided. And are getting themselves in trouble with Batman, who I think is...
Constantly, the left is always in trouble with Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you don't want to be in trouble with Batman.
No, definitely not. Like, probably the last person I want to be in trouble with. Because he's also really dark, you know? He's a dark knight.
That a fact.
Wait, I've got a new one. He's a dark knight. Okay, we'll stop there. I don't need to be sued today, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld seems like the kind of person that would sue me as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't think he cares enough. I feel like it'd be like,
what about that interview when he did with Larry King where he's like, well, there's a big difference between being cancelled and quitting. We weren't cancelled, Larry.
Well, that's because he goes on a show to talk to someone who's supposed to be an informed interviewer, and Larry is just bumbling around not knowing what happened with the show. It was like the biggest sitcom of all time. He's like, so you got cancelled. What's that like emotionally?
You got cancelled.
it's just stupidity. And I feel like Seinfeld is someone who doesn't suffer fools.
Okay. Yeah, all right. All right. Hey, if that's your feelings on the matter, then
they
you
are,
do you.
And I will not budge.
Okay, now.
Smooth transition.
Oh, you fucking ruined it.
That's gold. Well done. Well done.
Let me try again.
Smooth transition.
So, oh, fucking hell, Ben. Shut your goddamn mouth.
All right,
so,
go again.
Let me try.
Now. Ready? And go.
Smooth transition.
So, do it now.
Oh, I could kill you.
Smooth transition.
So, fuck, cunt.
Smooth transition.
So go.
I did it. I did it five times.
I think it's the delay. It's the delay in Discord that's making the problem. So, go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Right.
Smooth transition.
So, how's the vibe treating you?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. What?
It's a lot to wrap your head around. I'm looking for just one good shooter game. And
Arizona Sunshine.
I don't want to pay $40 for it though.
But Arizona Sunshine.
Oh yeah. When it goes on sale, I'll buy it.
It's so damn good. Don't even wait till it goes on sale. Just buy it.
It's a wild thing to be in a completely different universe for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And people who don't have VR don't think they quite realize how strange it is. Yeah. How real it feels. Not that you're doing VR and you think, "Oh my god, I'm really in this world." It just the depth of the mask and everything. There's depth.
Like, and when you have headphones on as well, you're fully immersed.
And the sounds, like in Arizona Sunshine, that's what I like in particular. The sound is incredible, and yeah, things are in the distance, and it's just VR is fucking dope. And when you watch VR on YouTube, it's flat like a normal game, but when you put it's totally different when you put the headset on.
Trying to describe virtual reality to someone and then showing them a clip on YouTube. It makes no sense. It's like trying to to describe a color to someone who's colorblind. Like you can't see it with any reference material you look at.
It's like, you see how that object is three-dimensional? Like, it's obviously three-dimensional, but just imagine it was actually three-dimensional. Like, you could pick it up. It's like, it's different. It's the difference between looking at a screen and it's real life is what it's that's basically it. It's like, if you walk around your lounge room in real life and there's a lounge room in VR, it's going to be exactly the same.
Just the resolution slightly less than
You can walk through the coffee table. But apart from that, I like that a lot.
Me too. I'll be excited when the games get a little bit more, I don't know, polished, I guess.
Arizona Sunshine, it's fantastic. It is my favorite VR game, and it has a campaign that you can play for, you know, a couple hours. Also, the co-op in that is so well polished, and it's great. And that one is one of those ones where you can really tweak it, and you go into your settings, and you're like, okay, I'll put my textures and stuff to medium. But then you put in this thing called CPU extras, and it like makes it so that when you shoot their heads actually explode, and it just feels it's very, very, very good. And I will play it. I'll play the entire campaign again. It's well worth it. Plus, there's a DLC for it now, which is a whole new level.
Is it free though?
The DLC? No, the DLC is like $4 or something.
Oh, get fucked. Well, I just bought it for $50 Australian. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, while you were talking.
you had a wank. So, anyways, so it's okay. It's not that great though. Like. It's not my favorite.
Ah, you fuck. I'll fucking refund it then.
No, don't. It's my favorite game. It's the best. I'm just messing with you. It's a big game. But did that version not come with the DLC? Because that sounds like an expensive version of it.
What is an expensive version? I don't know.
I'm looking it up now just to see.
All right.
If you, for fuck's sake, what is my goddamn Steam password?
Why don't you just have it to auto sign in?
Why don't you suck my dick, you dirty old bitch?
Well, that's not really related to what we're talking about, though.
True, true. Hey, so...
Smooth transition.
I put in my notes to say that the new video has double views, but that's not really a conversation starter. That's more a statement. Like, how good am I?
Double views? Well, twice the amount of views, you mean?
Than I usually get, yeah.
Oh, which is a new video, which is at this point in time, which is the newest one?
House Party.
Because there's so much content going up.
That's
from
true.
1 minute to the next, you can't tell which is the newest video, can you, folks?
When this podcast comes out, there'll have been like 3 videos since then.
There you go.
Yeah. And the next one that comes out, oh my God, I'm gonna do a prediction. So what's today? Today is Thursday.
It is.
This Saturday a podcast comes out. Next Saturday, this podcast comes out. But tomorrow on Friday, the bar fight video comes out. And I think that's going to get a lot of views because it's good. It's very, very good. I'm very happy with that one. It's been a while since I've done one.
Both made.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've done one. I've been like, that was thebomb.com.
Do you find that the views are like invariably related to the quality of the video? Or is it just some people watch some more, some people watch others more?
It fluctuates so much because I can do one where I think, yeah, that's the best video I've ever made and it gets a lot of views. Or I can go, yeah, that's the best video I've ever made and it gets no views. Or like the House Party one, I can go, that was a rush. I got that out as quick as I could and it's crap. It's badly edited and I'm not happy about it. And then it gets double views and I'm like, what the fuck? That one I think is because it's also a funny game and the game itself probably has enough people going, I want to go watch videos on this game and people just watching every YouTuber play it. Like it could be those kinds of people. Also in the thumbnail, it says press P to expose penis. So.
Well, that's always going to get you traffic, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, goodness
Maybe
me.
Just make that the thumbnail for every video now. I mean, have a different picture, but just say press P to expose penis.
What if I do that for the bar fight? I don't want to ruin the bar fight video with a fake, with a fake thumbnail. Oh, God. All right, I want to play a game.
Well, hang on. We got to talk a bit about Tiny Build, don't we?
Are you trying to run this podcast?
You said you want to play it. Oh, hey. Sorry. I thought you were saying you wanted to finish the podcast.
Hey, I want to play a video game. No, I do want to finish the podcast.
Oh, what's happening? Hang on. I'm very confused about this. What do you mean?
I want to finish the podcast. And I forgot to do the read. So who the fuck do you think you are? We'd like to remind you that this episode of the GMAT podcast is brought to you by the independent developer and publisher Tiny Build, who made games like Hello Neighbor, Speedrunners, Cluster Truck, Guts and Glory, Party Hard, and Punch Club. Make sure to sign up for alpha testing of their new game, Secret Neighbor. For more information, follow at Tiny Build on Twitter and visit tinybuild.com. Thank you, Tiny Build, for supporting this episode of the GMAT podcast. It's short podcast today because I need to go.
Now, hang on. I actually have something quickly to say about that.
All right,
I've been playing Secret Neighbor.
Have you?
Because I do research for these podcasts now. Yep. I actually put in a little bit of effort. Mm-hmm. And I've got a clip here if you wanted to hear it of me playing. I thought it was a really fun game.
Yeah.
I'll play it for you now. Hang on a second.
Go on.
Just got to get my volume settings because I'm playing a clip and I don't normally. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Why did the moron throw the clock out the window?
Why?
Because it reminded him of Richard Clock, the man convicted of knife raping his wife.
So that was just some of the fun I was having with the game.
Oh my God. Was that Noel McDonald?
That was, yeah. The Tiny Build Game Secret Neighbor.
Jesus Christ. That's rough. That's rough. That's a heavy joke. And if you if there was a far left person listening to this podcast right now, they would be very upset.
Well, that's blame Tiny Build.
And if you're far right, you'd also be upset because there was a wife in that joke, and they don't like talking about women.
Don't they?
I don't know. Unless they were like, I want to fuck that lady. Don't know why I did a southern accent. That wasn't.
Yes,
I'm not,
you do.
I know. I know exactly why I did it. I'm gonna have to cut out this. I'm gonna cut out this whole bit of the podcast because everyone in the south of the US is gonna be fuming.
The many millions of fans you have there.
Fuck. What was I gonna say about Norm Macdonald? No, that was a rough joke. People in the middle are just funnier. That should be the name of the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. We can equal out to be like, hey, that's a funny joke, but also, that's also horrible. But you know why it's horrible? You know why it's funny? Because it's horrible.
You have to be able to laugh, don't you?
Yeah. So I want to play a game.
All right.
this didn't work with Bruce. this didn't work with Luke.
So let's do it again.
It's failed twice, and surely third time's a charm. Really?
When have you done this on earlier podcasts?
Yeah. I can't remember which one.
Did you keep it in?
Yeah. Oh, I believe so. Yeah. I did. Anyways, so the game is. I mean, our improv is like. Our improv's off the charts.
You're putting a lot of pressure on this.
So, the game is: I'm gonna throw a movie, a book, a video game, or something at you that I'm certain you don't know the plot for, or something that you don't know you would know the name of, and you would know maybe a little bit. And then you got to tell me what happens in that movie, book, or whatever.
Well, hang on, aren't you throwing the plot at me?
No. I'm just throwing you the name, and then you're telling me what happened.
Okay.
And then you do the same back to me. You think of something that I wouldn't know, and then I try to explain the plot to you. Luke said Halo to me, I think Luke said it, or maybe it was Bruce, but they said, explain Halo. And I said, it's about a guy who's the Master Chief of Earth, and he's trying to kill an alien to get his Halo back or something. Yeah.
And
that's it.
It worked before.
It always failed, and it was never funny, and here we go. Okay, Ben, I have one for you. Could you explain... Oh, God, I hope you haven't played this. No, I'll start with one I'm sure you haven't played. Could you please explain the plot of Final Fantasy VII?
Final Fantasy VII?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is some kids from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
What were the kids' names?
Huh?
What were the kids' names?
Suki...
Yep.
Yokyo,
of course.
And then the other ones, I think, are just numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And they are from a school of magic. And they can capture... Sorry, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. And so they can capture what's called animorphs, and they make them... And they go out into the wilderness, and they fight other people from different schools, and they only ever take it in turns to fight. So when they're fighting, one person doesn't move, then the other person doesn't move. And it goes on like that for a long time. And I think it's probably 4 discs.
Yeah. You basically just explained the plot for Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, that's the one I played. I think it's just the same thing. How many ideas are those folks?
They're all like a little bit different. They're all totally new stories. They just keep creatures and themes and some character names, but they're all different.
I played Final Fantasy VIII a lot, but I didn't have a memory card, so I got pretty bored of playing through the first disc every time. And I thought it was great, but I never went back. I don't know why.
You played probably the shittest. No, actually, I like Final Fantasy VIII, but it's kind of like considered widely as one of the bad ones. I like it a lot. I think it's great.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any on the top of your head, off the dome, for me?
Video games. We're doing video games, are we?
Well, we could do whatever. Okay. Video games, movies, books. I don't read a lot, as you could tell.
As you could tell. The plot of Road Rash.
Please. Okay. so there's a doctor's office Is this a film?
You're explaining it to me.
Is it a film or a video game?
This is a video game. So but what is the actual plot?
Well, it's
video game, like the narrative, the cutscenes.
Well, it's it's set in a doctor's office, and you play as a doctor. And your job as the intern doctor is specifically to treat burns and road rashes that people get when they crash their motorbikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Towards the climax of the game, the tutorial is very long. You just treat basic wounds, but then when you get to the halfway point, you find your first road rash. And then the road rash is bad. It's no good. And to the climax of the game, you're about to lose the patient to road rash.
He's not going to make it.
And then there's actually two endings to this game. a lot of people don't know that if you answer to the nurse, no, fuck off, that the patient can actually live. But a lot of people have always thought that the patient has to die when you take the nurse's support and she fucks up.
Well, I'll let you know, the joke's on you. There is no plot to Road Rash.
Oh.
You ride around on a motorcycle and you hit other people off motorcycles and then the game ends. Like yours better. I think maybe we can get onto folks at Tiny Build and get this thing cooking.
Tiny Build,
you have
listening?
Given away the ending.
Road Rash. No. I've given away one of the endings. I didn't tell you exactly what happens in the end.
Of course. It's like a Heavy Rain type deal.
Exactly. All right. Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
Oh, thank God you haven't played it.
No. So Milla Jovovich, she wakes up and she is... She has a big telephone pole through her stomach.
Oh, wow.
But she's got like the virus in her, the zombie virus, but because she's just tough as nails, it hasn't affected her. So she pulls it out and she's got some sort of Wolverine power and it heals up. Basically, the whole plot is her trying to avenge whoever died in the third movie who was a friend, because I'm pretty sure by the third one, you always have to kill off like a main character who people like. So she's trying to avenge that person by going to the head of the Umbrella Corporation. And by the time she gets to the top of the building, it's sort of one of those really anticlimactic melancholy. That's what it is. It's a melancholy ending because she gets to the top of the Umbrella Corporation after killing all the zombies and all the zombie apologists in the Umbrella Corporation. And the guy's already dead.
So is that was that the movie Resident Evil 4, was it?
No, that was the game.
Okay, good. Because you said what happened in the third movie, the third film.
It's a franchise. They tie everything in.
Oh, do they now? I thought it was lazy assholes who didn't bother with that sort of shit. They just made new characters and whatever. No, okay.
Well, sometimes they do when a certain dynasty ends. But they didn't reimagine yet. This is still like the original Jurassic Park. This is not new Jurassic Park franchise yet. It's still the Jovovich years.
Okay. All right. How about this? Oh, no, you give me one.
All right. The film The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, well, of course. A famous written by Ben Affleck, that one was. And this was...
he wrote the book.
But this was prior to his work with Robin Williams so what was it? Sorry, it's just left my mind for a second. What was the name of that film we were talking about just now?
What's it? The Sum of All Fears.
The Sum of All Fears, of course, that famous book series, actually, 8 books.
I've only read The Sum of All Fears. What are the 7 other titles in that series?
Well, I want to make sure we're clear. I want to make sure we're clear on the canon. Are you aware where The Sum of All Fears fits in the emotional franchise?
Yeah, of course. It's the last one because it's the sum of all of the fears.
Exactly. So the emotional franchise begins with, ouch, what was that? The book which was made into a play as well. And that was followed by, hey, you, get out. And of course the famous, that's not a drawer, that's a desk, which is not my favorite one. That was...
Interesting choice to put a stutter in the book title.
Yeah. No. Let's be clear. It was very clear and concise. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. okay. And before the last one, what was the last one called? Sorry. I can't believe I can't remember this. This is so crazy. What was the last one called? The Sum of All Fears?
The last one was cool. Oh yeah, yeah. That's the very last one.
So and then the prequel to that, which is the fourth book, was called Hey, What's Fear?
And then there's obviously still followed by three more to go.
No, they're spin-offs. I think you're confusing the alternate timeline franchise, which sees the main character of Paulie put into space and living on a spaceship, as opposed to in the emotional franchise where he's actually living on a bus.
Right.
So the first few books see Paulie on the bus, and then he gets the bus, and then loses the bus, obviously, to the gas fire of 97, and which is leading up to the fifth book, Hey, What Is Fear, where he fights off angry homeless people who have been given needles by hospitals, which they use as weapons, of course. And so the Sum of All Fears begins at the end of the previous book, where Paulie has climbed to the top of the abandoned Aldi. And he's surrounded by homeless junkies.
Who plays Paulie in the movie?
In the film, I want to say it was Nicolas Cage. No, Nicolas Cage was in a flashback to when Paulie was a child. He was testing.
He played young Paulie.
Yeah, as a grown man, he played young Paulie. He was really testing his abilities and unmatched wit as well. But it was actually Vin Diesel who portrayed Paulie in the film. So the film opens obviously with Vin Diesel Paulie laying on his back, and then for an hour and a half he delivers a monologue straight up to the camera, which slowly over an hour and a half moves about 5 meters back, like one of those pool shots where you go out a little bit, but it starts from, you know, a real close shot on his face and then pulls out. And in an hour and a half, you could see basically his whole frame. And he delivers this monologue, which is Shakespeare-esque, you know, a little bit of Roman Polanski in there. A lot of Ku Klux Klan talk, which I thought was quite strange.
Well, that was the sum of all their fears, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then it ends at the hour and a half mark. It cuts off like mid-sentence, like The Sopranos.
Yeah.
No, not The Sopranos. Like The Godfather.
No, it's The Sopranos.
Oh, it is The Sopranos.
We're so well-versed in pop culture. Hey.
All right. Last round.
Oh, boy, the money round.
I give you one, you give me one. I have a few to choose from that I wrote down, but I think I'm going to go with the Little Engine That Could.
Little Engine That Could.
Yeah.
That's a documentary. That is a documentary made by Anthony Hopkins about
so strange.
A Buick.
Did he make a lot of documentaries? I always wondered that after seeing The Little Engine That Could.
If you pay attention to a lot of the modern Attenborough stuff, some of the Ken Burns business that's making its way to Netflix, he produces a lot and he often directs. He likes to be behind the camera on the documentary stuff. But this one, The Little Engine That Could, is him in front of the camera talking about a car, an old Buick that his dad gave him. And it was the last thing, it was the last conversation that he had ever had with his dad, was his dad saying, son, take care of the Buick. There's a lot of memories in that car.
In the Buick.
Don't mess this up for us. I want you to have it. And it's him following a series of riddles and clues that his dad has left for him to find the keys to the Buick. Because the Buick's just sitting in the hospital parking lot and his dad's passing away of Alzheimer's. I've never seen a movie where the emotional climax is in the first 4 minutes. But
it's bold. It's
you're
bold.
Crying because it's him and his dad and a small 30-man film crew in this intimate hospital room watching his father pass away, and he's written the clues and he gives him the first one. And the hardest part of the whole thing is that his dad's dying of Alzheimer's and he's written the clues progressively as his disease has degenerated his ability to even exist as himself.
Yeah.
And so by the end, the clues are it's just a post-it note with some of his breakfast smeared on it. And so you wonder how is Anthony Hopkins going to find the keys to the Buick?
Anthony Hopkins started it as well?
Starred in it? What do you mean?
What was it? Was it a documentary about Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, it's him and his dad. It's a documentary about
Sorry. Excuse me. Of course. Yes, continue, please.
And so you wonder, like, how is he going to work out from Raisin Toast smeared on a post-it note where these Buick keys are, but sort of the message at the end of it is that love conquers all, and he has such a strong connection to his dad that he knew deep in his dad's mind what he was trying to say with the Raisin Toast and butter. You don't know. No, come on, it's an emotional film. What are you doing?
Sorry, I thought that was the comedy relief part.
No, there's no relief. It's a harrowing story about the possibilities of human perseverance.
Wow.
Five stars. Yeah.
Five stars. All right. Quick fire round. Give me one and I'll finish it off.
I would love to hear you speak to the depth of narrative and filmmaking prowess in the film Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby, of course. Yeah. The infamous red and white film, because people were getting a little sick of black and white and a little sick of color. And they thought, you know, let's throw it up. Red and white. Where Rosemary's Baby is about the infamous baby who was birthed by Rosemary, a lot like the Virgin Mary, where there was no father, but she somehow was created life inside herself. And then it's a 3-hour musical in which the baby learns to tap. Learns a little bit of jazz, as well as flamenco, a great, and all kinds of Spanish movement, and obviously the climax is the big song, "I Want to Be Where the Placenta Is," sung that beautiful, those beautiful tenor, that really, I can't give any more credit to Joaquin Phoenix for the playing the role of Baby. He was phenomenal. His voice was insane. I didn't like the red and white. It made it really hard to see anything. Yep. It was quite a harsh film in the eyes. But the message didn't change. It was all the same. It was
You got to really take it on its merit, because would be a different film. The red and white makes it difficult, but it would be a different film without the red and white.
Exactly. And I think it comments more on the complexity of life and complexity of narrative by making it actually difficult to understand what's going on. I think that was intentional.
Who was it that directed that again?
Directed Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah,
it was Joaquin Phoenix. He was a self-directed, self-wrote, starred, and he also played the mother. which was the first use of really, really good green screen and CGI for him to be able to birth
himself.
You're
not thinking of the one-man stage show that Joaquin Phoenix did of Rosemary's Baby, are you?
No. So you're confusing yourself there. You're confusing I don't know.
It all fell apart. It was going so well.
And my brain is fried. I can't think. That was
so much improv.
That was so shit. That was the shittest game. I'm never bringing it back, ever. It's done. The game's done. The game has died. It's shit. Mm-hmm. Well done, everyone.
This was the nail in the coffin, was it?
Yeah.
Smooth was it as transition. Bad as all the other times, or worse?
It was all right. Still shit. Still shit.
What a yielder. Yeah, it was fine. It was good.
The important thing is, if you're listening to this podcast now, know that we didn't have time that week to record another one. And this is it, really.
Well, we can just cut this shit out.
No, this is gold.
You want to leave the game in just to let everyone know that you've really tried your hardest to make that game work.
I want everyone to know how much effort I put into making it work, because that was a lot of effort. And look,
you say you put a lot of effort into making it work, but it is an improv game, so all you have to do is get 4 movie names and game names and then say them to the other person. So I don't know whether it is that much effort.
That took a lot of work. I got Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 10, Final Fantasy 3. Yeah. There's a lot of work that went into that. If you're listening to this podcast on Anchor, applaud right now. I want to see a whole line of people who've applauded at this second. If you're listening on anything else, subscribe on the podcast app and all that sort of stuff. Go over to YouTube and comment on a video or like a video, or go to Facebook and like on Facebook. There's so many options. I don't go to Twitter because Twitter's garbage for garbage people. and if you could, support me on Patreon, you know. A vote for me is a vote for everyone. And
what does that mean? That almost sounds like something.
A vote for me is a vote for you, because If you support me on Patreon, I'll make more great content for you.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a sell.
That's really it. That's all I got. Any last thoughts?
There's also the subreddit up if people want to go.
Oh, of course. Hey, here's something. Ben's got a little input into the subreddit, so if it's shit, blame Ben, don't blame me.
Well, I didn't make it. I'm just there to keep people out if they say racial stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Any far left, far right?
Because free speech.
Well, to an extent.
I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white! Fuck!
We've come full circle.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your evening/day/night. Goodbye.